そう。
I've been explaining to you for the last several days about Gyan Marg and the difference between the path of Gyan and the path of Bhakti. You learn that even though the path of Gyan is very difficult, first of all, to qualify for, and secondly, it's even if you do qualify for it, it's very difficult to follow. It's a very long and arduous path, and in the end, you still have to surrender to the personal form of God. After having done all of that, we also find that the jnani does not receive the same experience that the bhakt does. The bhakt who attains the personal form of God receives a very special experience which the jnani who only attains formless God remains bereft of. To illustrate this point, I've been giving you several examples, real-life examples of saints who experienced both Brahmanand and Premanand. Brahmanand being the bliss of formless God, and Premanand being the bliss of Shri Krishna in his personal form. I gave you examples from Satyug, Treta-yug, and Dwapar-yug so far. Vedavyasji, who was one of our examples from Dwapar-yug, he wrote in the Bhagavatam, Vadanti tat-tattva-vidas-tattvam yajjnana-madvayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdyate. To help us understand in a little more depth about Shri Krishna's various forms, he says that one Shri Krishna has three main forms. Up until now, we've been saying two, his personal form and his formless form. But here, Vedavyasji is saying three. Brahma, Paramatma, Bhagavan. Bhagavan is Shri Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan. As Swayam Bhagwan, Shri Krishna is manifesting all of his powers. Thus, he has gunas, all his qualities, they're manifested. He has name, obviously, Shri Krishna, and many others, Gopal, Govinda, Shyam Sundar, uncountable names. He has his abode, his dham. He performs leelas in his abode with his jan, his saints. And of course, he has his form, many, many forms. This is Swayam Bhagwan Shri Krishna. Swayam Bhagwan Shri Krishna has naam, roop, leela, guna, dham, jan, all these six things that I just mentioned. However, as Paramatma, the same Shri Krishna has Naam, Roop, Guna, and Dham. Four things, not six. Naam, his name is there as Paramatma, the same Shri Krishna, except as Paramatma we call him Vishnu, Mahavishnu, Almighty God. He's there in his form, with his names, in his abode, with his divine virtues. However, he does not perform leelas, and his jan, those saints who attain him in that form, they don't get to interact with him on a personal level. So we say that he doesn't do leelas, and he doesn't have Parikar. There are saints there, but they're not called Parikar because they don't get to have a close interaction with him. So this is Paramatma. Why is the same Shri Krishna as Paramatma not doing leelas and not allowing those saints to become his Parikar? Because as Paramatma, that bliss of Premanand is not revealed. The bliss of the personal form of God is there, but you can call it Aishwaryanand or Paramatmanand. But it's not Premanand. Premanand is only revealed when Shri Krishna is in his absolute supreme form, revealing all of his powers, manifesting all of his powers. So only Shri Krishna performs leelas. He does so as Shri Krishna of Vrindavan and Golok. He also does so as Shri Krishna of Mathura. He also does so as Shri Krishna of Dwarika. He also does so as Shri Ram, Sitaram. In any of those forms, he performs leelas. So those forms are called Bhagwan. As Paramatma, that Prem Tattva is not manifested. Only his almighty qualities and powers are manifested. So he's in his almighty form as Vishnu. In this case, we're calling Paramatma. Thus, no leelas, no personal interaction with those saints of that abode, Vaikunth abode. And the same Bhagwan Shri Krishna also is formless, Nirakar Brahm, Nirguna, Nirvishesh, Nirakar Brahm, Nirguna. No virtues, no characteristics. Nirvishesh, nothing, no attributes that could be differentiated one from another, or even described or perceived. And nirakar, without a form. So Brahm has no name, no form, no gunas, no leelas, obviously, no dham, no abode, and no jan. The ones who attain liberation of the jnanis, those jnanis, they go and merge into formless God, what we call Brahmadrav, like a drop of water merging into the ocean. But they're also not called Parikar. They get no interaction with God whatsoever. How could they? Neither does the jnani have a body, nor does Bhagwan have a body. How are they going to interact? Neither of them has a mind which is active. How are they going to interact or perceive anything? So there's nothing to be perceived or experienced once that jnani merges into formless God. So this is Brahm. Nirguna, Nirvishesh, Nirakar, Brahm is the same Shri Krishna, but with almost all of his powers dormant. Just enough power is manifested in order to maintain his divine existence. That's it. Nothing more. So now you understand how one single Shri Krishna, Advaya Jnana Tattva, the supreme absolute power, manifests himself eternally in these three main ways. He doesn't switch back and forth. Like, oh, now I need to be formless. Oh, now I need to be Almighty Vishnu. Now I need to be Krishna holding a flute. He doesn't jump back and forth. Eternally, he exists in all of these forms. And like I explained before, although all three, Bhagwan, Paramatma, and Brahm, are none other than Shri Krishna, yet you can't say, oh, it doesn't matter which one you attain. It does matter. It's going to give you a very different experience. If you attain formless Brahm, up until you leave your body, you'll be absorbed in the bliss of that Brahmanand. Once you leave your body and merge into God, you experience nothing. If you attain Paramatma, you get the unlimited bliss of looking at God's divine beauty in his divine almighty form. But you don't get to become his parikar or take part in his leelas. And if you attain Shri Krishna in his loving form, then you get all of that. So there is a difference. Just like water has three states in which it exists, solid state we call ice, liquid state we call water, vapor state we call steam or vapor. Someone could argue that all three of them are the same. Chemically, there's no difference between them. But if you bring someone steam on a hot day when he's asked you for ice, he's going to wonder what's wrong with you. And you explain to him, no, this is H2O. What's the big deal? You asked for ice. I brought you ice in another form. Just use it. Says, no, this steam is not going to cool me on a hot day. I need ice. Similarly, even though Bhagwan, Paramatma, and Brahm are exactly one, yet the experience is very different. So you choose which one you want to attain. One time Naradji was coming from Swarg down onto the earth planet to visit Dwarika. Chayastvisha mityavadharitam pura tata shaririti vibhavita kritim vibhur vibhakta vayavam pumanitikramad munnarad ityabodhisa Bhagavat. The residents of Dwarika saw, but from a distance when he was still high up in the sky, they just saw a light, like some bright light was approaching. When he came closer, they saw, there's some form, they saw like a silhouette shining within that light. They still didn't know who it was. And when he came all the way down, then they recognized, it's Naradji, we know him. So this example is given in the Bhagavatam to understand that light, where you couldn't make out any form, it was the same Naradji. That's like Brahm. Then he came closer, you could see the form, but you weren't that close. That's Paramatma. And he came all the way down. That's Bhagwan. So the same Shri Krishna, you can say, if you experience him at a great distance, that's formless God. If you are a little bit closer to him, that's Almighty God, Paramatma. And if you get as close to him as you can, that's our Bhagwan, Shri Krishna. Like on a cloudy day, it's day, so there's light. It's not dark. But you can't see the sun. A little thinner cloud cover, you can see the orb of the sun through the clouds, but it's not clear. You can make out the shape, though. And on a perfectly clear day, you see the sun in all its glory. That's like Brahm, Paramatma, Bhagwan. The light is there, but you can't see any shape, any form, formless God. The light is there and you can make out the shape of the sun, that's Paramatma. And the clouds are gone completely, you see the sun exactly as it is, up close, that is Bhagwan. So, any soul can experience God in any of these three main ways. As formless God, as Almighty God, or in His loving form. The examples I've been giving you have been comparing the bliss of formless God with the bliss of the personal form of God. So now we've divided the bliss of the personal form of God into two. Almighty personal God, Almighty Sakar Brahm, we're calling Paramatma, and the loving form of God, Shri Krishna, we're calling Bhagwan. But the main thing to understand is still just the difference between Nirakar and Sakar. The main proponent of worshipping formless God in Kali Yuga was the first Jagadguru, the first original Jagadguru, Adi Jagadguru Shankaracharya. Shukdev ji had a disciple named Gaudapadacharya. Gaudapadacharya had a disciple named Govindapadacharya. Govindapadacharya had a disciple named Shankaracharya. Shankaracharya is the most famous proponent of Gyan Marg. And he led quite an extraordinary life. By age 8, he had learned all the Vedas. By age 12, he had learned all the Darshan Shastras, 6 Darshan Shastras. And from age 16 to 20, he traveled around India, debating, winning against everybody, becoming Jagatguru, writing his Bhashya. Imagine, before he was still a teenager, and he had already written his Bhashya of Brahma Sutra, Gita, Upanishads. Now, people think that Shankaracharya must have just been a follower of formless God and maybe didn't even accept the personal form of God. But if you know about his personal life, you'll see that even though he was teaching about formless God, in his personal life, he worshipped only Sri Krishna. From age 20 to 32, he did nothing but Krishna Bhakti. He left the earth at age 32. Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu. Vedavyasji says in the Bhagavatam, the greatest of all the Vaishnavas, the greatest of all of Sri Krishna's devotees is Shambhu, God Shiva. And the same God Shiva came as Jagadguru Shankaracharya. So how could he not do devotion to Sri Krishna? Of course he would do devotion to him. Initially, he had to do his Bhashya in a certain way. And he restricted it to just the oneness of soul and formless God. And he didn't get into much about the personal form of God or anything at all. But in his later writings, listen to what he wrote. Satyapi bheda pagame nath tavaham nakina tavastam. Satyapi bheda pagame nath tavaham namamakinastvam samudrohitaranga kvachana samudro nataranga. He says, he's talking to God. He says, although for the most part there's not much difference between you and me, there is abhed, because we're both divine, we're both chetan. But I know, I acknowledge that I am of you, you are not of me. Nath tavaham namamakinastvam. I am from you, you are not from me. That's a big difference. He said it's like a wave is from the ocean. Is the ocean from the wave? No. So the wave exists dependent upon the ocean in the same way I exist dependent upon you. You are not dependent upon me. So you see, he's acknowledging a difference between soul and God. Whereas most people think, Shankaracharya thought soul is God. They also think that he thought God is only formless. No. He said, Dvaivava brahmano rupe murtanchaiva murtancha. Ved says it in this way. Shankaracharya says, Murtan chaiva murtan dvai eva brahmano rupe. Same thing. God has two forms, personal form and formless form. Yadyapi sakaroyam. He says, O Shri Krishna, although you are sakar, although you have a form, yet you are still omnipresent. A lot of people think that God must be omnipresent in his formless form. How can he be omnipresent in his personal form? Shankaracharya says he is. Shri Krishna in his personal form is everywhere. You know, he taught bhakti to his own mother because he said, Moksha karana samagriyam bhakti. bhaktireva gariyasi. Bhakti only is supreme. He didn't say gyan is supreme. He didn't say yoga is supreme. He said bhakti is supreme and you can only get liberation through bhakti. Tadanugraha hetuke naiva cha vijnanena moksha siddhir bhavitumarhati. I got liberation through getting Brahma Gyan, which I received through God's grace. He says, Shuddhayati hinantaratma Krishna padam bhoja bhakti mrite. The heart cannot even be properly purified without doing bhakti to the lotus feet of Shri Krishna. Listen to what he says his desire is. Kamyopasanayarthayantyanudinam kinchit phalam svepsitam kechit swargamathapvargamapare yogadiyagyadibhi. He says some people desire for swarg and they perform lots of good karma trying to get to swarg. He says some people desire for liberation, so they do yog, they do gyan, trying to get liberation. He says all of that is a waste. You know what I want? Asmakam yadunandanam griyugaladhyanavadhanarthinam kim lokena damena kim nripatina swargapavargaishchakim. He says, I want devotion to the lotus feet of Shri Krishna. That's it. I want to be devoted to the dust of his lotus feet. I have no interest in liberation or swarg or any enjoyment in this world. Bhagavati tavati re niramatra shanoham vigat vishaya trishna krishna maradhayami. He expresses his desire to Gangaji. He says, oh Gangaji, you know what I wish to do? How I wish to spend the rest of my life? I want to sit on your bank, just drink your water, take nothing else in, just keep drinking your holy water, have nothing to do with worldly desires, and Krishna Maradhayami, and worship Shri Krishna around the clock. That's all I want to do. Who's saying? Shankaracharya. People think Shankaracharya only believed in formless God, only wanted liberation. Then they don't know about these writings, which are his later writings. He wrote after he had done his Bhashya of the Brahma Sutra and become Jagadguru. At that time he was only doing Krishna Bhakti. There is a reason why he had to do that, meaning introduce this whole philosophy of Advait, non-dualism. At that time, there was the prominent philosophies were Baudh philosophy, which had been introduced. And those who were following the teachings of Sanatan Dharma were focusing more on Purva Mimansa and the attainment of Swarg through Vedic rituals. So Shankaracharya had to come and reestablish the authenticity and the authority of the Vedas. Buddha Bhagwan did not accept the Vedas as the ultimate authority. So when Shankaracharya came, one of the main things he had to accomplish was to re-establish the supreme authority of the Vedas. That if it's not in coordination with the Ved, it is not acceptable, even if Bhagwan himself comes and says it. Which is why we give full respect to Bhagwan Buddha, but we don't accept his philosophy because it's against the philosophy of the Vedas in many places. Meaning it contradicts what's in the Vedas. So Shankaracharya accomplished this through his establishing his Advaitvad. And then he also revealed his personal side that in fact he is a devotee of Sri Krishna and he recommended to others to become devotee of Sri Krishna. How to do devotion? Hridam bhoje Krishna sajal jal dashyamal tanu sarojaksha sragvi mukut kat kadya shravanvan sharadra kanath pratimavdana Shri Murali Kan Vahandhyeyo Gopi Gana Parivritah Kumkum Chittah. He says you have to do dhyan. You have to meditate. What should you meditate on? Formless God? He says no. Meditate on Shri Krishna. What does he look like? He has a complexion like a fresh water-laden cloud. That deep, dark complexion, bluish complexion. He has eyes which are big, but shaped like petals of lotus flower. They have a beautiful shape and they're big. He's surrounded by the gopis. He's playing on his flute. He's wearing his crown, his golden bejeweled crown. So he says, think of that Shri Krishna in your heart. Yamuna nikatatata sthita. This stuti that we sing every day after the arti, this is written by Shri Shankaracharya in praise of Krishna, describing his full decorations. His eyes, his ear pendants, his crown, his pitambar, the glow of his body, how the glow of his ornaments and body together are driving away the darkness of Kaliyug, how he's in the kunj sitting with his friends, the Gwalbals, and they're eating, they're sharing lunch. The cows are all around, the gopis are around, the fragrance of Shri Krishna's body mixing with the fragrance of his hair, mixing with the fragrance of the oils applied to his body, mixing with the fragrance of his banamala are just spreading on the manda breeze, on the gentle breeze which is picking up this fragrance and spreading it everywhere in all four directions. Shankaracharya meditates on that scene of Shri Krishna. Dhanya gokul kanya vayamiha manya mahe jagati yasam nayan saroje shvanjan bhuto niranjano vasati. He says, blessed are the gopis of Braj. Why? Because he uses the word Niranjan. Niranjan is used also for formless God. And Niranjan is used also for the collyrium that the gopis apply to their eyes. So Shankaracharya is saying that Niranjan Brahm, that formless God who is unexperienceable, unattainable, indescribable, cannot be seen, That formless God is there in the gopis' eyes all the time. How lucky are they? Says Shri Krishna is there in every gopi's eye, and because the reason he's saying this is that the gopis always see Shri Krishna everywhere they look, so it's like he's been applied to their eyes. So you see, Shankaracharya's feelings of devotion for Shri Krishna are very deep and very great. One of the most famous followers of Shankaracharya who came after him was Madhusudan Saraswati. Madhusudan Saraswati followed the path of Gyan Yoga, attained formless God, experienced Brahmananda, and after that got the chance to experience Premananda. He read the Bhagavatam and was graced to experience that ultimate bliss of Shri Krishna's divine love. Then after that, he said, Pramanatopi nirnitam Krishna maradhyam adbhutam Krishna mahatmyam adbhutam Nashaknuvanti ye sodhum Te mudha nirayangata. He says, if some person cannot accept Shri Krishna's mahatmya, that he is Supreme God. Remember, who is saying? A jnani saint who worshipped formless God. He's saying, if someone cannot accept Shri Krishna's supremacy, then that mood, that fool, nirayam gatah. Nirayam means narak. Gataha means to go. Such strong words coming from a jnani saint, from a jnani mahapurush. He says to other jnanis and souls of the world, be careful. Mayata pantha pathi bhimaratya digambara kopita malanila vinyastahasta To pinitamba bimbe dhuta samakarshati chitta vittam. Savdhan, beware. Why? What's happening? Don't come down this road. Why? What happened? There's a young boy, 4 or 5 years old, standing on the road, wearing nothing but a peacock feather, standing with his hands like this, a beautiful dark bluish complexion boy, and he's standing there in the road, and the moment I saw him, he stole my heart. That mind which was absorbed in the peaceful Brahmanand now has been attracted to Shri Krishna and has abandoned that peaceful experience of Brahmanand forever. So, O jnanis, beware. If you want to maintain that peaceful experience of Brahmanand, don't come this way towards Vrindavan, because this boy is standing here in the road and stealing the heart of all passers-by. And O souls of the world, you also be careful. If he could steal my heart and I had experienced the bliss of Brahmanand, then what could he do to you who have only experienced the fleeting pleasures of this world, Jagadanand? So don't come this way, he's saying. So you see through these many examples that the jnanis are overwhelmed by the experience of the bliss of the personal form of God, even after they have experienced the bliss of formless God. So now we have to understand about the third path, bhakti. Both karma and jnana are incomplete without bhakti, but I haven't given you many details about the actual path of bhakti. So from here, we'll continue tomorrow. बोलिए वृंदावन बिहारी लाल की जय